بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, it is only the fazl, karam and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that together with blessing us with the greatest asset and the greatest gift of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the greatest of anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the best of role models, and the most beautiful way of life to follow, and that is the way of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, this is the only way of life that will bring a person salvation in his dunya, qabr and akhirat. And the nature and the beauty of this way of life is such that any person coming from any background, whatever color, creed, nationality, whichever spot, whichever country, whichever village on the face of this earth he is from, at any point, at any moment of his life, he will be able to relate to the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Ustad, Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Harun Abbas Umar rahmatullah alayhi, he would mention that it is so easy for a person to become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will find that this is the main maqsad, the main purpose for a person to be in this dunya, is to always please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything that we do, in every action that we may be involved in, whether it is the mundane actions of our day-to-day life, our eating, our sleeping, spending time with the family, or maybe going into business and going on holiday, taking a break here and there. There are guidelines for every single facet of our lives. So Mawlana, our main maqsad is to do all these things. Maybe we are involved in all these things, these actions, but under certain directives, under certain guidelines. And that is in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main maqsad. That everything that we do, and this is what distinguishes us as Muslims from a non-Muslim. They will go into business, we will also go into business. They will go on holiday, we also go on holiday. We will also enjoy the different ni'mas and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but under certain guidelines, under certain directives. So Hazrat Mawlana Harun Sahib would mention to us that it is so easy for you to become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy at all times. All you have to do is just follow the sunnah. Something that we hear our entire lives, and volumes can be written on this. But the ikhlas and the sincerity, Mawlana would mention to us one statement of his. And it was only because of his way of life, his pabandi, his punctuality upon the sunnah, his simplicity in his way of life, that ikhlas and the sincerity in his words, it used to penetrate straight into the heart. That if you want to become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is so simple, Mawlana will mention, it's so simple. All you have to do is just follow the sunnah. Why? Because that way of life, that way of eating, that way of sleeping, that those guidelines to do business under, to socialize with our family members in that certain way, that is the most beloved way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally, when a person will come on this way of life, and we will adopt this way of life, then automatically we will become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why must I do it in a certain way, and why can I not do it like this? Why must I dress like this and not like that? Why must I have my pants above my ankles, and why can't I have it? What is the difference? What is the big deal if I have my beard like this and I don't have it like that? My respected elders and brothers, that is not our work. Our understanding, our minds are flawed. They will fail us. But the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever fail us. They are never ever flawed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it like that. That is the way that is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that is the way that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged us. You want to become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do this, do that, do whatever you are doing, but do it under this guidance, under these directives, in this certain manner. Unfortunately, today, apart from just abandoning the Mubarak Sunnah, apart from just taking it and just throwing it out of our homes and out of our lives, my respected elders and brothers, we have gone to that extent of even degrading the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How many times doesn't it happen? When a person will come and tell you that I don't know what to do, my father wants me to take out my beard. He's saying it is looking untidy, unkempt. That student, he or she, is studying in some madrasa, or they maybe attended some dini gathering, some taaleem, some program, and they picked up, now they want to become parband on deen. And they don't want to maybe attend a certain family gathering because of what takes place in those gatherings also. Our nikah occasion, our wanima occasions, what takes place over there because of the intermingling, some maybe music is blaring on one side. This person's wife is looking at that person's husband and he is looking at, he is smiling at her, that person's wife. And what takes place in our gatherings? But because of the haram that takes place now, they don't want to attend that certain gathering, and we will find that it is the own, maybe sometimes the immediate family, the parents that are, as we would say, on the case of that child. That, why are you acting so stubborn? Don't you think you are overdoing it? What will this auntie say and what will that uncle say? My respected elders and brothers, we are worried about what this auntie will say and what that uncle will say. But we are not worried about what Allah will say and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say. How many times doesn't it happen when a person has to actually walk out of a gathering because of the haram and the gunas that is taking place in that gathering? And then what happens? That becomes the breaking point between the host and the person that wants to be parband and punctual upon the sunnah. And then for weeks and months sometimes, for years also, the entire family will be speaking about that person, he's so rude, he's like this, all the fingers are being pointed against him. And what usually, that person knows nothing. Everyone will talk about him, but no one has the guts to even come up to him and ask him why you did that. But this is our outlook to the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That becomes a breaking point. Why? Because I want to become parband, I want to follow what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has told me. And then you have to hear comments that he is so rude, he doesn't have any consideration for our feelings. My respected elders and brothers, we don't respect, we don't consider the feelings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't consider the feelings of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we expect to be respected by imitating and aping that nation, such nations, who themselves, they are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are doing everything in their capacity to drag the Mubarak name of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through the gutters of this dunya. And we want to imitate them, we want to ape them. And that person, that was someone who doesn't want to do it, then we got a problem with it. The very famous words of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu on the occasion of the conquest of Aqsa. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ We are a nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with izzat, with dignity, with honor and glory. By following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling His commands, and following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such firasat, such foresightedness, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu has. He after that mentions, فَمَهْمَا تَتْلُبُ الْعِزَّةِ بِغَيْرِهِ If we want to seek this fake type of izzat, of respect, of little bit dignity, of honor, that we think is honor, we want to adopt it, or we're expecting this by going against the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Umar radiallahu anhu mentions, يُذِلُّكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace you. And we find what is not happening to the ummah across the world. Across the world. How we are being, as we would say, booted and kicked from pillar to post. Why? جُعِلَ الذِّلُّ وَالصِّغَارَ عَلَىٰ مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي When we will turn away from the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, we are going to shift away from the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we should expect that dhillat and disgrace to be stamped on us. According to Western researchers and historians who have delved very, very deeply in the matter of warfare, going back into ancient history also. They have done much, much research all throughout history, through ancient history. And they have mentioned, non-Muslim Western researchers up till today, over the times, over the centuries, over the millenniums, the decades, They mentioned that there are only three individuals that are considered undefeated, unchallenged, and unrivaled. They never lost a battle, they never lost a war. Only three throughout history, in the annals of history. Number one was Alexander III, we know him as Alexander the Great. He was a Greek king and he had ruled over the Macedonian Empire. He had existed in approximately 360 BC. He had conquered a very, very vast kingdom from Greece all the way to India. Before him, no one had conquered such a vast kingdom, such vast land. Obviously, thereafter, the Muslims, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, they had ruled over two-thirds or three-quarters of the world. But before him, in that time, there was no one that was so advanced or had ruled over such a vast kingdom. He was known as the undefeated, unchallenged. He never lost a war. Number two was Genghis Khan. Many of us, we pronounce it as Genghis Khan. He was the ruler over the Mongolian Empire. He was known as undefeated. However, in 1187, it is reported that he had reared an army against his brother's army, where he was very, very dramatically defeated, and he went into hiding, and after 10 years he regrouped, and he came out with a very powerful army, and he came and he wiped his brother's army out. But he is put down as undefeated. And the third individual they mention is the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. When it came to the first two, then maybe they didn't lose any battle, they didn't lose any war in this dunya. But the greatest battle of life against shaitan, they had lost it. They died without iman. And also furthermore, they had mighty, mighty empires under them. They had the most advanced of weapons in that time. They had the most mightiest of soldiers, of weaponry. They had everything to their disposal. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he was known as a one-man army. When he would lead from the front, not like how the kings and the monarchs and all the rulers over the different empires, where they will just wait with the cavalry or with a group on a mountain and just watch what is happening on the ground, on the battlefield, and just now seeing now when it comes to a bit, you know, the feeling that they are going to be defeated, then they quickly turn and go. No, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they led from the front. Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that when Khalid radiallahu anhu used to be on the battlefield, it used to actually be like a scene to observe. How we would say a scene to observe. They mentioned that we would watch him, he would choose the most thickest part of the enemy. And he would throw himself in the middle, right in the midst of the thickest part of the enemy. And they mentioned that we would watch him, the only thing we would see was the flash of his sword and bodies would fall all around him. This was Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. According to Western historians, they mention that from all these three undefeated, unchallenged and unmatched military leaders, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was the greatest of them all, making him the greatest military leader ever to set foot on the face of this earth. According to Western researchers, this is the conclusion of their research, that from all these three undefeated great warriors, great military leaders, Khalid radiallahu anhu was the greatest of them all, making him the greatest military leader to ever walk the face of this earth. When Khalid radiallahu anhu would go into battle, Muslim and non-Muslim researchers, up till now, they are mind-boggled as to what used to take place in the mind of Khalid radiallahu anhu. In the battle of Mutah, when the Muslims were facing such odds, there were 3,000 Muslims against 200,000. 3,000 against 200,000. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had appointed Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu as the general in charge. If anything has to happen to him, then Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu will take his place. If anything has to happen to him, then Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu will take his place. On the battlefield, the general in charge of the army, he is the one that is bearing the flag, the holding up the flag. So naturally, that becomes the riskiest of positions. Because as long as that flag is up, there is some motivation in the army to push forward. The enemy, they form an entire group of them, they surround Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, he fights them off, but he is martyred. There are much, much details regarding this entire battle, the battle of Mutah. But when he is martyred, Ja'far radiallahu anhu takes his place. He is martyred again. They use the same strategy. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu also again they surround him and they strike him to the ground. Hazrat Zayd bin Alqama radiallahu anhu, he is coming, he comes past that flag, that fallen flag on the ground. And this was at a time when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were thrown into very, very great confusion. That now all our military leaders are down. What should we do? Should we push forward? Should we retreat? Should we surrender? What must we do? As Zayd bin Alqama radiallahu anhu, he comes past that flag, he picks it up. He was not a person that could step into the position of a general, of a commanding officer. But in the very near distance, he sees Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He dashes up to him and he places the flag in his hand. Khalid radiallahu anhu, he was only 6 weeks a Muslim at that time. He didn't feel it befitting for him to now take that position and to now command the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were before him in Islam. And moreover, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't appoint him. So he was very, very hesitant. But with the insistence of a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he takes up that position. And from one side of the battlefield to the other side, this was at a time when the enemy had almost fully surrounded the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and moving in closer to finish them off. From one side of the battlefield to the other side, he takes a sweeping glance. How long is it going to take a person to look from one side to the other? A few seconds, a few moments. But in those few moments, he had already planned his form of strategy. He already made his plan of what to do. He regrouped the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He made them into three different groups. He sent them off in three different directions with three different instructions. And with that skill and knowledge of his, what was left of the 3,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had managed to defeat an army of 200,000. And Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu had led them back safely to Medina Munawwara. It was on this occasion when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given him that title and he mentions to him, Khalid, Sayfullah, you are the unsheathed sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battle of Yarmouk, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu again were facing such odds, they were 40,000 against 400,000. And again, Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was the military leader, he was the general in charge. And as they are going, he overhears one of the soldiers, the Muslim soldiers, whether he was a new Muslim or a tabi'i, but he overhears him mentioning that today what is going to happen to us? Look at the mighty armies that they have, the weapons that they have, the numbers that they have. Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu dashes up to that soldier, and he mentions to him that our victory and our success on this battlefield does not lie in our numbers. It does not lie in our knowledge as far as warfare is concerned. It doesn't lie in our weapons, it doesn't lie in our army, in our soldiers. It lies only in one thing, and that is following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a statement that is coming from the greatest military leader ever to walk the face of this earth. He was well known for his military skill, for his knowledge in warfare, long before he had accepted Islam. He already was distinguished with that title, that he is the unstoppable. But what he mentions, this is a statement from the greatest military ever, according to the Western researchers, that our success on this battlefield, or for that matter, in any other way of life, in any other facet of our lives, it lies only in one thing, and that is following the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, my respected elders and brothers, we need to understand what a treasure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. What a treasure Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left us with. That today, we pass such comments and such statements against the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What will be our condition? My time is almost up, but I'll conclude on one incident. In the time of Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi, he would teach Bukhari Sharif in Masjid al-Nabawi, just out of the Roda Mubarak, in what we call Juz'ul Jannah. Between the Mimbar and the Roza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would teach Bukhari Sharif there. And he had once given this incident, that a person had once come to Medina Munawwara, and he had tasted the sour milk of Medina Sharif. And when he tasted it, he spat it out. And he mentions to those around him that the sour milk in my village or my city back home is better than the sour milk of Medina Munawwara. In the dream that night, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam tells him that if the sour milk of your village or your city is better than the sour milk of Medina Munawwara, then leave Medina Sharif and don't ever come back. Leave Medina Sharif and don't come back. He wakes up obviously perplexed. He's worried now. What a mistake he had made. There were a few alims in Medina Sharif. He goes to them. He mentions them. This is what happened. What must I do? So they explain to him and they tell him that we don't know what must be done, but we have this strong feeling that go to Uhud at the foot of the grave of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Cry and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and maybe inshallah Allah will guide you. So he comes to Uhud and he makes a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a lot of dua, he cries, and in that he goes off into a slumber. And he sees a vision, he sees a dream. In that dream, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu comes. And he tells him that for the sake of the protection of your own iman, leave Medina Munawwara and don't ever come back. To protect your own iman, leave Medina Sharif and don't come back. This was a statement he had made against the sour milk of Medina Munawwara. My respected elders and brothers, what statement and what remarks we pass against the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the condition of our iman? When that one person wants to wake up and he wants to speak on the Sunnah, he wants to speak about something that maybe will go against the grain of the entire community, but it is according to the ta'aleem and the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we point a finger at him that don't worry about him. He is like this. He is too strict. He is, my respected elders and brothers, we are not pointing a finger at that person. We are pointing a finger to beyond him to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the condition of our iman? My time is up. But as mentioned in the beginning, our greatest asset is our iman. And that vault and that safe around our iman is the Mubarak sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala make us pabund and punctual upon every sunnah. There's many, many sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam we can bring into our lives. Allah grant us the tawfiq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't turn his face away from us out of embarrassment. But rather, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is proud of us that we are his ummatis. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.